end of the game, he just goes off. And tonight, he really went off. I mean, those are three big threes. Our sponsors are Equibank, We Take Banking Personally, West Pacific Dental Group, and, as always, Infusion Brewery. It's a victory. We have to have a let it fly. Ah, quite tasty and refreshing. Zach, you know, on weekends when I don't work, I tend not to drink enough fluids. Like, I'll go, sometimes it'll be late in the afternoon, I'll be like, wow, I haven't had anything to drink yet today. Isn't that weird? I don't know why. I guess maybe because I'm drinking coffee during the week, and then I drink some water, and then, you know, we're off to the races. But at any rate, don't think I've had enough fluids today, but this tastes particularly good. Again, I want to apologize for my cough. It's come back again, which, you know, what are we going on, month five now? This is great. You know, send us an email. Eileen, I hope you're listening. Glad you enjoy the show. You might want to turn the volume down here in a little bit, because I'm sorry. You can't have a guy out there making six turnovers a game. You just can't. I have no idea what's going on.
Sometimes it looks like he just hasn't adjusted to some passes he might have been able to make in the Summit League and can't anymore. But he tries to throw some really, really bad backdoor passes that just get snatched up right away.
Horrifically bad. Horrifically bad. Yeah. Oh, I know. And it's, I mean, it really killed us tonight, man. It really killed us. Well, joining us now is our partner, Ross Ferrarini. Hi, Ross.
How we doing?
We were just talking about, we can't have a guy out there making six turnovers, and some of the passes were, that one he threw cross court, I'm like, there wasn't a Creighton player within 15 feet of that pass.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Oh my God, did you watch the game?
Yeah, who were you
Schwarman
referencing?
Schwarman turned it over.
The whole team turned it over.
No, they had 15 turnovers. Schwarman had six of them. That's over a third of your team's turnovers. When you have that many, 15 is not a great number either. And again, that bounce pass to the Kalkbrenner on the baseline or Kaluma, God, he's got to quit throwing that pass because it's just not working for him. Nothing frustrating.
He makes a lot of passes that are pretty damn good too. So you kind of got to live with.
I'm sorry, Ross. He didn't make a pass tonight that was anything exceptional. None. And he's had two games in a row now. When he had four turnovers last game, he had six tonight. That's 10 in two games. That's unacceptable. I'm sorry.
Well,
you can't have that. And against a team where, God, you're getting looks every time down the floor. I mean, you can't turn it over and give away possessions. You just can't.
They speed you up. I mean, they force a lot of turnovers. You know that's their MO. That's what they do. And, you know, I'm not excusing Baylor, but he's had a couple rough games. I expect him to be back and have a good one Tuesday at home. He's more comfortable playing at home outside of the Xavier game where he scored 25 or whatever it was on the road. But, hey, we won by 10. That's all that matters.
1-10, thanks to Arthur Kaluma, who's done this about two or three times now. Just can't buy a bucket the whole game. Then at the end of the game, just goes nuts. Like, it's crazy. Like, I've just one game I want to see him come out and, like, you know, get it done right off the get-go, you know. But, man, we sure needed those threes, and he knocked them down big time. And yeah. Zach and I were talking a little bit off air. He goes, well, it'll be really, really easy to pick an unsung hero tonight. And I go, I'm not even sure you can go unsung. He might be the hero. We talked the last game, Reef just gaining confidence. And tonight, man, did he show it. He really showed it. He's playing with terrific confidence out there.
I would guess he probably hasn't hit three threes in a game in his Creighton career.
Probably not.
That was huge. It was great to see some bench production between he and Mason, and Fred played some minutes. Fred didn't give much. Fran played a few minutes, didn't give much. But between
three, his only shot.
Too. Yeah, yeah, he did.
And God, you know, speaking of Fran, I know he's lost a bunch of weight after this illness, but he looked, I don't know what it was tonight. Maybe it's the fact that he's lost some weight, but he just looks shorter out there. Like I was like, wow, he just looks any taller than Nembhard, which is weird. He just looks so small, and I guess it must be the weight or something. But man, he came out there, and I was glad to see him get some minutes. And I'm sure he's still really recovering, and I'm sure Max hoping to get him a few more minutes on Tuesday. But I'll tell you, I really like this substitution pattern with Mason. And I just think it has to grow and grow and grow and grow. He's really giving us some good minutes. He really is. Now, his first shift tonight, played pretty well, and then just had two bad defensive sets in a row, and Mac yanked him out, and they kind of got into it on the sideline. But, you know, he's got to do a better job on defense and getting back on defense. But, man, I love his hustle. I love the way he goes for those offensive rebounds.
Yeah, he's a huge addition on that end, crashing the glass. He's long and plays hard, and obviously he's been shooting the ball better. So yeah, if you can get bench production like you got from he and Sharif tonight, you'll take that any day of the week.
Surprising, yeah. I guess with Craig goes 8 minutes without scoring, but you know I thought 150 under over was rather low for these two teams, and it did go under. Although St. John's would have kept on fouling there, we probably would have went over. But they finally threw in the towel there with about 35 seconds left. Again, I was saying to Zach, you know, you go 8 minutes without scoring on the road, and you still come away with a win. You got to be really, really happy.
Yeah, that's a hard team to play. I know, and they, you know, that their MO is speeding you up. And I thought we played at their pace probably a little bit too much. I know we want to kind of get out and run too, but I thought, I mean, God, there were some wild possessions there between the both of, you know, Creighton and St. John's kind of going back and forth. And it was just, it felt sloppy at times when both teams were kind of getting out and running, and, you know, they want to turn teams over. They're not terribly disciplined in what they do on the offense or defensive end. And, you know, it can be hard to play against that at times, but if you execute, you know, you typically are the better team, you know, comes out with the win against St. John's. And I thought we did a great job of that, especially down the stretch. Helps when Arthur, you know, bangs in a few threes when we really need them.
Oh, man, big threes. And then, you know, we had, like I had Reef at the beginning, Arthur in the end, and then Mason sprinkled in a couple there that were huge. The one when we were really struggling to put the ball in the basket.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, a couple poor shooting nights. In a row for Baylor and Trey and Art, those three, for whatever reason, they and Ryan, I guess Nembhard throw him in there too. It feels like we haven't had a game where all four of them have really shot it well all together. It seems like at least one of them, at the very least, one of them has an off night the four. Yeah. So it's interesting.
Well, it's time for Coach's Corner. Coach Williams is with us. Hi, Coach. Hey, Coach, what's up?
You guys hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
There you are.
Even better, we can see you. How are you doing, man?
You know what? I'm better now. I'm better now. Better than I was about 10 minutes ago.
Well, I'm going to start off with a bizarre question, but I'm sure it's what all fans want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Baylor take his headband off?
You know, I think he was frustrated. I don't know, to be honest. It was a little bit of frustration. He took the headband off, which might be at first.
Yeah.
Since he adopted that style.
That's great though. He knocked down some free throws. Hey, there we go.
Yeah. You know what? He made some big plays down the stretch, a couple of huge rebounds. Got his hand on a couple of loose balls.
What can we
what's that?
We gotta teach you another thing to complain about. What's his thing?
Me? And oh, come on, man. They're giving me a hard time. Thanks, guys. He made some key plays down the stretch, got his hand on a couple balls, big time free throws down the stretch. And you guys hear me still?
Yeah, we're good.
Um you know, so wasn't a pretty game for any of us, you know, not just him, which was the message in the locker room, but we did it together.
We gotta do something about him trying to hit that backdoor pass on the baseline. I don't know, maybe that's a pass that he was able to make in the Summit League, but in the Big East, that ain't flying. It gets picked off every time.
Yeah, he's had a tough stretch here in the last few games of turning the ball over, but you know, he's attacking the film room pretty hard. He's learning.
Well, maybe it was a headband, you know.
We'll see.
Coach, what's it like playing against a team like St. John's? They're a little bit unorthodox. They could be undisciplined at times. They want to just turn the ball over and get out and run. It's a little bit of a different style. What's it like typically?
Unorthodox is a good word. You know, they're tough to prepare for, and even tougher to play against, especially in this building. You know, they make you kind of play at their pace. They're good at going on quick runs and you know, they force you into some tricky shots that you wouldn't normally take that you think are open, or you attack a gap that you think is open and all of a sudden it closes up. But all in all, you know, it's always good to get out of this building in particular with the win, because it's never easy.
Especially
with the healthy Posh Alexander, who we did not see in our building.
Right. We talked about it last game. We're just seeing more and more and more confidence from Reef. And tonight he went out and just played great and knocked down those threes. And those are huge threes for us.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a testament to a veteran kid. He's been in this program for a while. He's played some really huge games. And him and Mac have a really big time relationship. So obviously it's public that him and Reef got together, and Reef voiced some frustration, pointed him in the right direction. In terms of how he can continue to help this program, and man, he's answered the call every time.
What is it
with Farabello kind of missing some games and working his way back in the fold? So again, veteran play for him.
What is it about Art? He's done this about two or three games now. He's kind of struggled. The ball just won't fall in the hoop, and then at the end of the game, he just goes off.
Yeah, I think he likes, you know, making us all lose a little bit of hair, and then he comes. You know, no, Art, he's talented, man. He's talented. He does some things out there that nobody else can do. So it's just a matter of him continuing to mature his game, continuing to trust the system and things like that. And he's getting there. He's getting there.
I'll say this. The last three, those threes he hit, those three of them, I noticed he had a little more arc on the ball on those.
Yeah.
A little more arc.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, whenever he keeps it simple, he's an incredible player, right? Shoot shots when they're open, drive the ball when you have a gap, rebound the basketball. He's tough to deal with.
Well, Tuesday night, kind of a big game. Last time we played in the top four. And, man, if we get a victory there, we'll be in tie for first place after that long battle of the losing streak and everything else. It'll feel like we've gotten – back to the top of the mountain. So, I'm sure it'll be a sellout and be a crazy, crazy crowd.
Well, we're looking forward to it. This one was tough enough, though. We're going to, you know, break this one and then put it to bed and get back to work tomorrow.
Yeah. Short turnaround.
Gotta love it.
All right. We'll let you get on the bus, buddy. Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas.
Jalen Courtney Williams, Creighton assistant head coach after the Jays' big victory. One thing I want to mention before I forget, we had the top 16 reveal today. And our mock selection committee that I'm a part of some of the best bracketologists in the country, got together last night, picked our top 16. And, you know, like most everybody in the country, we had UConn and the committee did not. That's the big point of contention with everybody. But we didn't once even bring up Creighton's name. Today, in the selection show, Creighton's name was brought up a couple times. The committee, the athletic director at Bradley, said that it was razor thin between Xavier and Creighton. So Creighton was very close, in the committee eyes, is very, very, very close to a four seed right now. So that's kind of like our starting point now. The next 2 weeks, we know we're very close to preferred seed. So from here on out, I'm sure a Marquette win would push us, you know, and any kind of stumble from Xavier or anybody above them would kind of push us into that four line. And then from there, maybe we can move up to three. So that's great news.
Yeah, there's a lot of season left. It feels like I always feel it's like fun to look at bracketology and seeds and whatnot. It just feels like it doesn't really get, I don't start looking at it pretty heavily until maybe the week before conference tournaments. I just feel like there's still so much random stuff that can happen in the next few weeks.
Yeah, but you got to remember this reveal was way later than it's normally been. There's only 2 weeks left, Ross.
Yeah, no, we're coming down to it, no doubt.
So there's not going to be, in other years when this reveal was earlier, I think they've said 30 of the 32 teams they picked the last 2 years ended up being in the top four seeds. So, yeah, things don't change a lot. So, anyway, we're right there. That's the big thing. Michigan State coming right down to the wire here in a big game.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan, I think, is still going to be out of the tourney, but they have a chance they win this one. But it'd be nice for Michigan State to Hunter Dickinson nails a three.
I'm going to be honest, Indiana's really surviving, you know, as a around the same seed line as us, in my opinion, just because they, you know, the third game of the year, they won at Xavier. Their resume outside of that is very average.
Well, yeah, and that was a big, you go on Twitter and it's just exploding. Like, people are like, how could you pick Indiana over UConn? You know, by everything that the committee has always looked at, metrics, resume, quality wins, you name it, you know, and that's been a big, yeah, it's raging on the internet. We had a long discussion because one of our members had Indiana in the field. So we had a discussion on, all right, are we going to go Indiana or are we going to go Xavier? That was the two teams we were looking at. And so we had a long discussion on Indiana. And their resume looks very good. I mean, it's right in there with the other teams. I don't know that they're the top four seed. I think that was maybe a little excessive. Did not shock me at all that they made it, because I knew it was very close between those bottom three or four teams. So, at any rate, we have Ed joining us. Oh, Ed always has great calls. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
We're doing great, man. Thanks for joining us. What do you got tonight?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Hey, I'm coming to Marquette on Tuesday, so you know it's a win.
That's true. You've been the lucky charm.
I've been a good luck charm. I'm really excited to – I'm actually out in California skiing this weekend, but I'm going to change my plans and come to Marquette just so we can have this victory.
Ed, you live a rough life.
You know, I've got no complaints, Sam. you guys were talking about IU. Actually, you know, I live in Indiana. I'm an IU fan. Went to grad school there. I do think it's interesting. They get a lot of, you know, they're, and again, you're a bracketologist, Tim. I just don't see the love for the Hoosiers, and I'm a fan of theirs. I don't see the love that they're getting in these kind of bracketology, and their ratings as well. You know, they barely beat Illinois tonight, probably should have lost this game. So, you know, talking to Ross, I kind of got cut off there when I was trying to get on, but I don't see the love for the Hoosiers that I see the national media giving them.
Yeah. And like I was telling Ross, is huge contention right now on the internet over them and UConn, and how can you put, you know, Indiana in over UConn? And you know, our committee last night, it was a big discussion between UConn and Xavier. And a lot of discussion came there. Well, Indiana beat Xavier if it's that close. And I said, I don't think it's that close. I think Xavier is clearly better than Indiana, you know. And you got to understand that, you know, they're playing without Fremantle, you know, arguably, yeah, I think, yeah, their best player. And they're missing a couple other pieces too. So, to me, that's, you know, that was the icing on the cake, really, I think. But at any rate, yeah, but it'll all play out. I thought it would have been funny that, you know, everybody thinks the bad decision the committee made today was Indiana. And then if they would have lost that game, it would have been, oh, people would have been piling on. You know? Yeah, and that was against the depleted Illinois team, too.
Yeah. It was, and they just looked disinterested in the first half, and that's just what they do. I mean, they're – look, Trace Jackson Davis, one of the best players in the country.
Phenomenal.
No doubt. No doubt. The team just has not been consistent on defense, and they really look disinterested at times. But, look, I know we want to talk about Creighton. I thought – you know, I was screaming at the television tonight, as I normally do, you know, during that 0-for-11 run. You got to think this team has such great potential. And we talked previously about the bench, and obviously that's the story for this evening, right? The bench played – there's no win tonight without the bench, without Reef and Mason and the team. And you know, Farabello as well hit that big shot. But
and we had six team, threes from the bench today.
Yeah, 20 points from the bench. I mean, you know, Tim Brando was driving me crazy tonight complaining about the bench and – you know, at that point they were, you know, they got 20 points. So it was a good victory here. St. John's, you know, depleted St. John's team, but this, you know, we never play well in Carnesecca. And I'm really excited to see what happens. But, you know, talking about Xavier's a team that wins games that they're supposed to win, and they do it very well. And Creighton needs to do the same. And I think they've done that this year. And I've been very impressed with the fact that they've done it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting now because now you got Marquette Creighton, you got Xavier and Providence have to play each other. So the stands are going to get shook up.
So not a single team in the top four has lost
to the other.
Has lost at home, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. They've all held serve at home. Correct. Correct. So the tiebreakers are crazy. But nope, like us, Marquette can't get in a tie with Xavier because the tiebreaker eventually goes down to, you know, did you beat this team? Did you beat this team? They're going to get to UConn. They swept UConn, and we didn't sweep them, and neither did Marquette. So that's where the difference is going to be, and they're going to get the edge there. If it's us and Marquette tie, then we have the tiebreaker because eventually it's going to go down to net. Who has the best net score? And right now we do. So we're up by about four or five points. So we're going to have the advantage there. I'm not sure though. Like if it gets into a scenario, and I know Ross doesn't like when we get this far ahead because we still got four games left. But if it gets into a scenario where Providence and UConn are 4-5, I might rather be a two. To be honest with you.
I don't know. It's a good point. I mean, look, you know, they were showing tonight. Yeah, I've been to every Big East tournament, even the ones that were canceled. And I'm really excited for this year, of course. But, you know, Creighton's had their opportunities to win these tournaments and they just squandered them every time.
Yeah.
And I hope that this year is different. I hope that this year is different, especially you can't look past the Georgetown matchup is the biggest, you know, whatever you want to call it, disappointment. I'll call it disappointment. But you know, we've had our opportunities to win four Big East championships and have not. I think it's going to be a fun tournament. I hope that you guys are coming because it's going to be a blast in New York City this year. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of trash talking between the teams, I think. And anybody can win this tournament this year.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I am not coming, by the way. Sorry.
I wish I was coming. I was there last year.
Yeah, every year I go. You know, my father's a New York native, and we go every year. We went to many Missouri Valley tournament, and it's a great time. You know, to see basketball at the Mecca, it's just a different experience. You know, just to see teams play there, it's just a different experience. And with UConn joining, it's a pain because the tickets are so much more expensive. But, you know, it just brings a whole new level with the UConn fans.
Yeah, it does seem to be pricey. That's, I guess, the one downfall for people way out here, you know, Omaha. You know what I mean?
It's expensive. I'll tell you, I generally get tickets at the last minute. And it's been very good to the StubHub. There's a StubHub over on like 44th and Broadway that sells tickets, and you can sit over there at the last minute. That's my advice to your listeners, is go over there and try to get the cheapest tickets you can. But yeah, it's expensive, but this, look, this Creighton team, they are back to where they need to be, I think, potential wise. It's really exciting to watch, and I'm grateful that you guys cover them and we can talk like this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, I'm just curious. So how time frame when you go to StubHub, how late do you go? Like how much before game time?
Honestly, like for the big games where Creighton's not playing, I'll be standing outside like 5 minutes beforehand on my phone, like just trying to get the best seats.
Yeah.
And you know, it's about a 10-15 minute walk from there, from that place on 44th and Broadway. So yeah, you might get in a few minutes late, but you know, for the Creighton games, I'm generally more trying to get there early so that I can see them play. But for the non-Creighton, we go to every game. Every game we go to.
Wow.
It doesn't matter who's, but yeah, we go to every game. What else are we going to do? So we go to every game, and
it's a good match.
It's a blast.
And it is New York. There are a few things you could do in New York.
Yeah, you know what? I love college basketball. I mean, it's great. College basketball is the best. I mean, you see, like, even if it's, you know, whoever's at the bottom of it right now, if it's Butler, Georgetown playing, I'm a Butler guy, raised Butler guy. I'm going to root for Butler. I'm going to scream my face off, pay $10 to sit in the lower bowl to watch Butler and Georgetown. It's a blast. I don't care. I can watch McNeese.
You could get one for $10. Seriously? You could get one for $10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, well, that's nothing. But that's Butler, Georgetown.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That Butler, Georgetown, yeah, it depends on what they used to have the different sessions, and it depends on how the sessions fall out, you know, what tickets you can get and how cheap you can get them and who's going to stick around. You know, with St. John's in the bottom now, it's going to be a little more expensive because the St. John's fans do still show up, even though
Seton Hall could
really
be there
good.
Too. Seton Hall could be down
and
there.
And Seton Hall will be down there too. Yeah. And that'll make the tickets. And honestly,
and UConn, Nova will be in the bottom.
You know,
too.
So Wednesday's going to be interesting. You know, my flight gets in early on Wednesday, but it's going to be interesting to see what it could cost to go see those bottom games on Wednesday. It might be an expensive day.
All right. Let's reel it back in. What do you think about Tuesday?
I think Creighton's going to win this game hands down. I think they're going to win double digits. I mean, honestly, I might put some money on that as well. I think they're going to come in probably +1.5, +2.5. I don't know what you think the line's going to be.
Well, they'll be favored. Creighton will be favored.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like +1.5, +2.5, and I think they're going to blow the doors off of Marquette. Marquette has won every close game they have. You flip a coin, they say you flip a coin, it's 50-50, right? They've won every close game that they've been in, every single one. They're bound for a loss in a close game, and I think that Creighton's going to do it on Tuesday. I do think, Ross, we gotta figure out what this crowd situation is going to be like on Tuesday. I know you and I, we're crowd downers, and I definitely am. But I hope this crowd shows up on time and is loud and has a few beers beforehand, because it's going to be a good time. I'm going to be there. I'm flying all the way in from California to see this game, and I'm really excited about it. I hope the rest of the Jays fans show up and make some noise and don't sit in their dang seats the entire time.
Do you live in Omaha?
It's painful.
I live in Indianapolis.
I live in Indianapolis.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought
I'm in Indianapolis.
Man, it feels like you come in for random games a decent amount.
I do, Ross. I do. My went to high school at Creighton Prep. I went to Creighton, and so I've been. My parents and sisters and nephews and nieces are still in Omaha. I just randomly come in for big games, and I've had the opportunity this year to be able to make some of the big games because they've been on the weekend. This is the random Tuesday game. And I just happen to be in California, and I'm like, oh, man, I just got to figure out a way to get there on Tuesday, you know?
I think it'll be a really good crowd. It's the biggest home game of the year. I know we said that a couple weeks ago, but I would be stunned if the crowd isn't really good on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think it'll be rocking. Yeah, I think it'll be a sellout. I think the crowds – the last couple of crowds have been really good as far as vocal.
Yeah, and the past three home games have been really good.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be any different.
We got to get that lower bowl to stand up. Those people like their seats. They like to sit.
Hey, I was in the lower bowl last game, and I was standing. I was standing a good chunk of the game, and so was everybody around me. So,
yeah, but Tim, not everyone does care. Even at the big, even at the big moments, there's still people that want to like sit, and it's drives me nuts.
I'll tell you what, Tim. You know, you and I talked about Assembly Hall, and I know it's not a comparison, but you sit at Assembly Hall, people will throw stuff at you. People will throw stuff at the back of your head if you sit at Assembly Hall. Like, it's just not it's a not, different
they
environment.
They sit when they're playing, like, McNeese State and stuff, right?
I mean, I agree. Okay. But,
right. Well, I'm with you.
I agree. But we gotta get people up. So we got to get people up on Tuesday. And you know, if you're in the lower bowl on Tuesday, make sure that your seatmates are challenging everybody to stand up, because it's going to be a great game. I think the fans are going to be there. The students, I'm really excited to see the student section on Tuesday.
Well, maybe we can play the mop lady before the game, and that'll get everybody fired up.
Don't get me started on the in-game entertainment. I know that's a topic, and I don't go to a lot of games. And it hasn't been very good
this year.
It's not been good this year. I just, you know, you watch what the Creighton what they do on social media after the games, and you wonder how we can't translate that into in-game experience.
Good point.
They do
point.
Great job.
Excellent point. All right, Ed. Great call.
Nice to see you guys.
I think it's a blueout, by the way. It's a blueout. It's a blueout Tuesday. Everybody's got blue stuff, that'll work.
I got to wear the same clothes that I wore the last time, so my gray shirt. I'll try to put something blue on the outside.
This is my lucky shirt. I had to wash it tonight before the game. So, I'm going to be wearing this. So, hey, Ed, thanks. Have fun skiing.
Thanks, Tim. Tuesday. Good to see you. Yeah. Talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Great call by Ed. Gave us some insight on tickets at the Garden. That sounds like I thought it'd be way more than that, even to go to like a Butler Georgetown game at the last minute.
No, it's very, the Wednesday night playing games are very, very reasonable on cost. There's not a lot of people there. Even the Thursday night games, if it's like a Xavier versus Butler or something on a Thursday night, it's pretty manageable. Friday is not cheap whatsoever. And then obviously Saturday, especially if it's two Northeast teams, Saturday is not cheap.
Yeah, I would get that. I always get the feeling, and I could be totally wrong on this, but I always get the feeling that like the fans that maybe don't have a certain team, but maybe have a couple teams there in the metro area or whatever, and have gone to the Big East tournament years and years and years and years. I have a feeling like they don't really give a crap about the Butler, the Xaviers, the Creightons. They're playing. I don't want to go, no matter how good they are,
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the old Big East when they had USF and, whoever. I mean, there were some really random teams in the old Big East about towards the end there.
Yeah, there was, because they had 16 at one time, didn't they?
Yeah,
I think they did.
It got that big, yeah.
As I think they started the tourney on Tuesday, because they had to play two.
Yep, correct. Two playing games.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Jays win 77-67. I never did get the stats tonight. I was hoping before they got on the bus, Rob would send those to me. Hey, I just wanted divert off track here. Shout out Creighton baseball. Goes down to McNeese State. Loses 1-0 yesterday. Today they thumped them 9-4. McNeese State's supposed to win their conference. Usually pretty strong in baseball. So congrats, Jays. Nice job. Let me pull up. I gotta see what happened here. By the way, Michigan won. Beat Michigan State. Ross, to go way off topic, have you watched any of that Full Swing yet?
I watched the first episode.
God, it's great, isn't it?
It
only gets better from there. I've watched three now. It's awesome.
Yeah,
absolutely awesome. If you like golf at all, it's fabulous. Just fabulous.
Pumped to dive back in.
All right. So tonight, who's our leading scorer, do you think?
Just had it up. Was it Art? It honestly might have been Art with 13.
It was actually Ryan Nembhard with 16. And wow. I was coming to my wife tonight. Man, he has been shooting the basketball great. He's really been shooting the basketball great.
Yeah. Ryan's been playing with a lot of confidence lately.
Yeah. He's been on a terrific floor game, too. I mean, he has not, for as much as he's out there, he had one turnover tonight. Yep. I mean, that's crazy.
Art with
13. Yeah. Art had, Nembhard 16, Art 13, Kalkbrenner 12. Yeah, my wife tonight. And now we got Jerry on the line. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys.
Really been shooting the basketball great.
Are you hitting my are you hearing my echo? Or?
Yeah, we're hearing your echo.
Yeah, I got to turn that
off. He's been on a terrific floor game, too. I mean, here we go.
That better?
Yeah, it's much better.
All right.
What's your thoughts tonight?
Well, it wasn't the greatest game. I thought, you know, we didn't come, you know, I guess we executed pretty good in the last 5 minutes. Turnovers again worry me a little bit going into Marquette. I think we beat Marquette if we don't turn the ball over more than 15 times. I think that's going to be the key. Baylor, again, threw some sloppy passes. Art had some turnovers. But, you know, Art got hot in the last 5 minutes. That helped, so. But that's the only thing that concerns me about Marquette. I think we shoot the ball better than they do. We're better inside. We just can't turn it over and get a lot of easy buckets.
Yeah, Baylor and Art combined had 9 of our 14 turnovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art just gets sloppy with the ball sometimes. And Baylor, I don't know what. So a couple of those passes, I had no clue. Like that one, there wasn't a guy within 15 feet of that pass. I don't know who he was throwing it to. But, yeah. But, bench tonight, we had 9, 24, 35 minutes from the bench tonight. And of those 35 minutes, we got we had 20 points. Yeah, yep. 35 minutes from the bench.
That's big. No, Mason played pretty good, but I don't Mac got on him at that time. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did.
Was that because of defense? He let his guy into the bucket.
Yes.
Pretty much in. Yeah.
The play before that, he really didn't get in good position, but he kind of recovered. You know, he got late, but he kind of recovered. Mm-hmm. But he still allowed his guy to make a pass, which resulted in a bucket. And then that second one, you know, he hit that shot, and then he was just, I don't know what he was doing, but he was way late getting down there and didn't even put up a defensive effort. The guy just blew to the basket. So I think Max was trying to say, hey, look, you know, like your effort on the offensive glass, like the way you're shooting the ball, but, man, you got to get back on defense because that's killing us.
Yeah. I do like the way Mason goes to the bucket on when we shoot the ball. I mean, he assumes, you know, we're going to miss it. So when we take a shot, he's always running to the bucket trying to get the nets, helped him get a couple offensive rebounds for us. So,
well, not only that, tonight when he shot that one, he immediately knew it was bad. You know, that's what I don't understand. A lot of guys stand there and pose even when they know it's bad. That makes no sense to me. You know when you let that go, if it's going or not. You got to race in there and get that rebound.
Right.
You never know. It's going to carry him out to you.
Right. But, yeah, I know Arthur's pretty good on the boards and on offensive boards, so is Mason. But, you know, they kind of hit the boards like they assume we're going to miss a shot. Sometimes, you know, a guy shoots it, and we're running down the court, back down the court like, you know, Steph Curry shot it, and they don't always go in. So,
And I like the fact that Mason goes in. He really goes in, even on the rebounds, like he's out of position. He goes in hard to get that basketball.
He does.
You know, with a loose balls, all that sort of thing. He goes really hard after the basketball.
Which, you know, if you're coming off the bench and have limited minutes, that's what you have to do to get the coach's attention. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Bench was nice tonight. Nice to see Sharif hit a few shots and get some confidence back. That's going to help. Nice to get some minutes off the bench. But, yeah, looking forward to Tuesday night. It should be fun. Marquette's coming off, 6 days rest? So,
yeah.
I'm ready. Haven't been impressed. I mean, they haven't shot the ball. I didn't think they shot the ball again against Xavier. They won. I watched that first half, and they, you know, weren't making a lot of shots. But, you know, their
second half was a different story.
Yeah, they had needed a tip-in by Prosper at the buzzer to, you know, win that game by 1 point. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, if we could just, like I say, limit the turnovers on Tuesday night, I really like our chances. But, you know, that comes up and bites us some. So, we'll see.
Yeah, the Marquette to me this year is like Cam Jones. He'll throw up a couple that you wonder if he should even be shooting a shot over 10 feet, and then he will go and drain four in a row.
Right.
Like, he's been that way up and down. Kolek's been much better shot maker this year. And then they've got a couple guys that come off the bench. I can't remember one guy's name that comes off the bench, and they're, you know, he can hit threes too. So they've got, yeah, they're just they're really well-rounded team. Well-rounded.
Yeah. Play hard. But yeah, it should be fun. Should be fun Tuesday night. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So.
All right, man. Thanks, Jer.
Later. Yep.
We were talking about the, we said 16 for Nembhard, 13 for Kalkbrenner, 12 for, 13 for Kluma, 12 for Kalkbrenner. And then it was 9 points for Sharif Mitchell. Great to see. 9 for Trey and 8 for Mason Miller.
Yep. Happy for Sharif.
Very happy for Sharif. Jay shot 24 of 62. 13, man, we jacked up 33 threes tonight. We're 13 of 33. So that's about 35%. So it's not horrible.
Yeah.
Considering we went through that long stretch. But the big key tonight, we're 16 of 16 from the free throw line.
That'll help you win games, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, we just – when I think about it, you know, Kaluma's been shooting them really well lately, and Kalkbrenner's just got such a great rotation on his ball. Mason tonight stepped right up, knocked him down. Nembhard and Trey, of course, have been rock solid all year, and so has Baylor. So I like that as we go here 2 weeks from tournament basketball, the fact that we've got that in our back pocket that we can hit free throws. That's huge.
Couldn't agree more.
Worst call tonight. I've got several.
You always do.
This was a bad crew. This wasn't a very good crew. But Trey, I just didn't understand. Twice in a row, you know, when St. John's was making that run, twice in a row, guy goes into the lane for St. John's, goes up. Our guy is straight up. The offensive player goes into the defender, and they call the foul. Okay. Then on the other end, Trey drives in, clear path to the basket. Guy jumps up and just crushes him with the body, and he goes flying, and there's no call. I don't know what you're looking at. Just beyond me. That was horrible. I thought Trey had a couple of those where he drew contact. And then there was one other one I thought was maybe was Baylor's underneath. He got fouled too. I mean, it just – I mean, it wasn't even close. Wow. Well, we won the game.
I don't know. Nothing stood out to me the more I'm thinking about it, thinking back to it. I tend to forget. Unless it's really egregious, I just don't, for whatever reason, they just don't stand out to me. I don't know.
You thought that Trey took a lot of contact there, though, right? I mean,
but it's just, I don't know. They're such hard fouls, like the going straight up. Like a lot of times, guys will kind of lean over, but it's really subjective with the ref. I mean, so yeah, it's a physical game. I mean, they probably could have called some more fouls there.
But Mike Anderson told his team at one point, he goes, "Hey, they're not blowing the whistle, so you got to be ready for contact." You know. But then all of a sudden they start calling fouls. So I don't know. I'll tell you the scary play of the night for me. I had flashbacks. It was in the first half. And I don't know who made the pass, but it was a kind of a cross-court pass as we're heading down on a fast break. We hadn't hit the center line yet to Ryan Nembhard, and a player came flying at him, and I went, oh, no, not again. And the pass just barely got through to Ryan, and the guy went by. I mean, it was, I mean, I'm sure they actually brushed, but I thought it was the exact spot where he broke his wrist last year. And I thought, oh my God, my heart just sunk. I was like, oh no.
Dodge the ball.
Luckily, nothing happened. All right. What else you got, Ross? Anything?
Nothing really. Just, you know, no. I don't got a ton else. I'm just excited for Tuesday night. It should be fun and rocking in there, and going to watch some of these late games and decide if I want any action on some of the late games. And that's really
late games are pretty bad tonight, though.
Yeah, they're not very good. I agree.
What anybody know what happened with that Nevada game? Kind of a big bubble game. Nevada had a huge lead, gave it up, then battled back, and it was close as we went on air. I think they're still going on, actually. Can't be. Game's got to be. Over, Utah State won. So Utah State very much alive for a berth. At large bid. Arizona wins again.
I had a small free bet on DraftKings and a little 8-leg money line parlay. It looks like I'm about to go 7-8. My one dud was Portland at home, who just got absolutely smoked by Santa Clara.
Santa Clara's not bad.
Santa Clara's pretty good. But
I didn't know. Sendek is coaching. Herb Sendek is coaching them.
Yeah, he's – yep.
You know, I never did check, and I wanted to because my buddy Rocco went to the game because he lives out there. New Mexico. Oh, my God. New Mexico won by 30 last night. He went to that game, New Mexico, San Jose State. I told him to say hi to Tim Miles while he was there. Yeah, New Mexico won by 30. Wow, they needed that.
Yeah, that's kind of odd because they haven't been playing very well. And San Jose State hasn't been playing well.
Terrible. And they're like on the outside looking in right now. So, all right. So, anyway, I just want to do one thing here because I know you said there's a lot of basketball left, but we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. So, I want to look at the Big East schedule here, what we got going on. I think there's a game tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, terrible game. Georgetown at Butler. Then we're going to move to Tuesday. They have a great doubleheader. Villanova at Xavier. The way Villanova's playing, they could give Xavier a game. And Marquette, of course, at Creighton. And then we flip over to Wednesday night, and it's Providence at UConn. Huge game. Huge game. We need UConn to win that game. Butler, DePaul, St. John's, and Georgetown. And then next weekend on Saturday, Creighton at Villanova, that's going to be a big game. That's going to be a tough game for us.
Mm-hmm.
UConn at St. John's, and then DePaul Marquette. And then I think there's some games on Sunday as well. But, God, yeah, I don't see much hope. I don't see much hope in Marquette losing that one to DePaul. They've got Creighton and DePaul, Butler, St. John's. So they're not going to lose. So if they win on Tuesday night, they're Big East champions.
Are they at St. John's or?
Home to DePaul, home to St. John's at Butler.
Oh.
I mean, they could lose at Butler, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Xavier has
a healthy Butler. If Butler's got all their pieces, they could lose at Butler.
Yeah. Xavier, like we mentioned, Providence has got the toughest of the Big Four. They've got to play UConn, and they have Xavier coming into their place.
Yeah.
So they've got – that's a huge game. So, you know, one of those teams is going to lose, obviously.
Right.
It would be nice if Providence would lose UConn, then Providence beat Xavier. Then it would be just down to us and Marquette. If we win that game, we're in the driver's seat. Xavier also has to go to Seton Hall. So that's not exactly – easy. We all know Creighton has Villanova home. We have Marquette home at Villanova, then Georgetown home at DePaul. The way DePaul's playing right now, oof. And then Providence, we mentioned already, at UConn, at Georgetown, Xavier, and then Seton Hall. So they've got those two teams, Xavier and Providence, have the toughest schedules left easily.
Be fun couple of weeks here.
Yep, that's it. Then it's tourney time, baby. All right. Zach and I feel like we've been doing podcasts for like 24 hours straight, so we need some rest. Thanks, Ross. Thanks, Zach. Well, Blue Jay Banner on Monday. Follow us on Twitter. We think it's going to be a taped episode, so it won't be live, but we'll have it up on YouTube later. But thanks for joining, and we'll see you then. Ross, stick around a second.
Okay.